Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we're going to go beyond words, navigating dyslexia and mental health in adult life. It's something I've wanted to talk a bit more about recently, the mental health challenges that come with dyslexia beyond reading, writing, spelling. It's something I talk about some of the subtopics of, and I just think, you know, the more I speak to people being diagnosed, the more you see how these challenges have been part of their lives. So let's dive into today's episode. Okay, let's dive into this. I've actually written some notes on this podcast. It's very rare for me, but bear with me while I kind of skip through them a little bit. But I wanted to make sure I really dug into this. Now, people finding this podcast for the first time or come back after a while, you know, one of the big challenges we have is the continuous challenges with our mental health and how dyslexia has played a part in some form. You know, there's a great story I was reading about someone called Sarah. You know, in her early years, she faced numerous struggles with dyslexia, you know, reading, writing, you know, heaps of it really impacted her self-esteem and confidence. I'm sure she had a bit of ADHD thrown in there as well. But despite all the obstacles, she wanted to succeed. She placed in a bunch of what I call old solutions, or Davis Dyslexia calls old solutions, to survive, you know, in a crazy world that didn't quite make sense. Now, Sarah was driven by her passion. She was really into art, creativity, and dyslexia helps with that. It's really valuable. It helps us see the world from a different perspective. You know, she could see shapes, colors, textures in ways others couldn't, and others really valued that and her artistic talent. You know, she poured everything into it. And through that expression and finding that journey, you know, you could see her build up her self-worth. But before that, the mental struggles, the challenges, the lives she lived were very, very, you know, painful. But as she progressed through her artistic journey, her confidence grew exponentially, if I can say that word correctly. You know, she began participating in art exhibitions, you know, she garnered recognition and praise externally and built this kind of base of self-belief off an external acceptance. It can be really hard, and I know we all kind of love the idea of once we accept ourselves internally, the world will change. You know, that happens, but I do think there's a part of that that does come from the external side and that it is super valuable as well. I don't think it all has to be internal, although we would love every human to just be happy with where they are in life. It's not always a reality, right? And I think it's important to be realistic with that. And then motivated by her own experiences, you know, people like Sarah, what I'm seeing more and more with dyslexia is they're talking about their lived experiences and their own breakthroughs, like I do on this podcast. You know, it's all about building that resilience to keep going around mental health, because it can be, you know, I've spoken about this before, it's challenging. It's not a straight line. You know, I know when I was younger, my kind of goal around mental health was at some point I was going to reach a point and I will have won mental health. Everything will just be spot on. It'll be perfect. The world will be right. And I won't have to worry again. Wouldn't that be great? Isn't that the dream? And I'll be honest, there's a part of me that probably believed that for 20 odd years, 30 odd years, till I was in my early 30s. I really, you know, I tried a bunch of stuff, but I was always chasing this elusive, you know, calm. Mental health wasn't the phrase, but it's kind of the overall experience. But it's, you know, this place where I'd won, where I'd reached a point where I go, do you know what? I'm just happy with my whole life. It is spot on, ticks every boxes. Not only have I reached my health, my financial, my relationship goals, but every day is just perfect. You know, I swear there was a part of my brain who really thought that that was an achievable expectation, hilariously, right? But, you know, people like Sarah, myself, and our journeys, I think the big key that sticks out to me that is important for everyone to hear is that it's more like cleaning, and I know how terrible that sounds. You know, you've got to keep doing it. You can't just do it once. Maybe you can learn some techniques to clean better. and faster, which is what we do. You know, we get these fancy vacuum cleaners in our lives that fix a certain problem or a new type of cleaning product, or maybe you get an eco-friendly one, which is more holistic, shall we say, to help you on your journey. But it doesn't stop the need to keep cleaning. And, you know, that is the crux of mental health, is it's a continued journey and finding those tools that make the cleaning experience great. Like, for example, I'm really going to dig deep on this cleaning metaphor, is, you know, if I was cleaning, not that I clean a lot, it's not my passion, but I would have earphones in, I'd have headphones in, listening to music or something to be able to do some of those tasks. It would keep me on task, hopefully, if that was my path. And it's the same with life, like trying to find those things that make the mental health cleaning enjoyable. You know, the things that I have to do daily, like, for example, meditation. You know, I found an audio track that I love. I've listened to it for, I was thinking about this the other day, 4 to 5 years now. And it's just helped me massively, from a guy called Joe Dispenza. Huge, you know, good in that space, does very visual-based meditations. But listening to that, I find calm, I find enjoyment, I find a place where I can sit down for 20 minutes a day and find my space. Now, if I stop doing that for a month, I go backwards. So I've installed that as something I need to do, or I want to do, 4 or 5 times a week at minimum. That's the goal. The same with going for a walk. I went for a walk this morning and it didn't look like it was going to rain, fingers crossed, and then it started pouring down. And I kept going. I kept going through the muddy tracks to get to where I needed to be, because I know not only is that great for, you know, my body, it's great for my mental health more than anything. You know, it made such a massive impact in what I was trying to achieve that, you know, it just made me happy. And I know that's important for my mental health cleaning. Same with sleep. You know, I made sure I went to bed last night at 9:30 and I got up about 6:30. So realistically, I was in bed for 9 hours. Probably slept for 8 of those. And I know that today is going to be a good day because of that. If I did 4 hours, it wouldn't work. Now, I'm not here to preach what I do is right. Maybe you're someone who loves 5 hours of sleep. Maybe it's you're someone who can only sleep for 5 hours. I'm not here to say you're right or wrong. When I'm talking to people about this, I sometimes get this reaction very much on the surface of what I'm saying, not the deeper pattern below it. It's more about finding those cleaning tasks that work for you in your process. And also as well, not giving up on them so early, which is a real common trait, right? Is we try something, we go, I can't meditate, I'm never going to do that again. Instead of going, okay, that version of meditation didn't work for me. Why? Why didn't it work for me? And we can sometimes then go down the path of beating ourselves up a bit, but there's usually a reason. There's something there that didn't work. You know, for example, when I started walking again, I started trying to get creative and change my paths up every day and go, oh, this will add spice to the way I work. But very quickly, I kind of got got frustrated with it, because I was actually having to be really conscious on my walks, which some people will go, hey, that's probably a good thing. But for me personally, I didn't want to be conscious on my walks. I wanted to enjoy them, but I wanted to kind of set myself into a mode where I walk for an hour and I'm listening to something, a podcast or podcasts that give me value. I wanted it to be on autopilot. And so instead of me going, hey, walking's just not working for me like this, let me try something else, I said, okay, what's not working about walking? That's a hard one, but there we go. And I went back and I changed the mission, and I found a path that I really liked, had a bit of up and down in it, and I knew the length of it. It was 5Ks, and I could listen to, you know, a good hour's worth of audio, and I could do it on autopilot while getting a great view of the world, some stretching in, and the exercise I needed. So that worked for me, but I could have very easily thrown it out the window, which I would have done in my early years, and I did. I see this in marketing. People try one tactic, it doesn't work, they write the whole thing off forever and say, oh, that just doesn't work, when actually what they did didn't work. So, and this, I see this with meditation as well. People go, oh, I can't meditate. And that's fine, but have you tried other types? Like, I can't meditate. Like, I hate meditation, which is just basic music and I'm left in my own head. It doesn't work for me. I need someone guiding me through a whole experience, you know, telling me to listen, telling me to feel into the visions I'm having and to experiences. And it's much more visual driven and it works for my brain. It just makes me happy because I'm not alone in that space. And there are some days where I would say, from like, if I was going to be marked out of 10 for meditation, I would probably get a 3. I'd been off in a million different places. But there are other days where I grab myself and I slow down and I have moments of just bliss. And that happened from years of trying to find the right meditation for me. And my meditation might not be the same for you, but it's finding something that works where you can clean your mental bedroom and your head in a regular way. Does that kind of make sense? Like, there are things in your life that will create a mental mess in your mental bedroom, but there are things you can do to clean. And I think for dyslexia, we struggle to stay consistent. It's a really tough thing. It's not interesting. It's not fun. A bit of that comes from the ADHD side of things, but it's also very easy to miss a routine. So finding the ones that work, if you found them, you know, like an exercise I did is I wrote down, what are the things I want to keep doing all the time? What makes me happy? If I took out all of the overthinking and challenges, what are the things that really make me happy? And I jotted those down. And a few of them were, you know, going on a walk. I really like that time. You know, whether I was a billionaire, a millionaire, or I had no money in my bank, I would still do that. I love it. Same with my meditation. Those two things have been massive drivers for me going forward. Things that have come on and off are things like going to the gym over the years. There are sometimes I love it, sometimes I don't. At the moment, it's not in my near future, and that's okay. Some people swear by it, and that's great. But work out, what are those things that no matter what you do, you're going to keep doing and you love? And then work out, what are those things you've given a try to that could be helpful for cleaning your mental house that if you could do them in a different way, could be revisited? You know, if just one of those revisited things, you find another way or another angle, which is what our minds are great at, might make a massive impact in your life. Just wanted to share today, guys. Start having a play with that. Start thinking about that. But the day-to-day mental health work we need to do, like I'll tell you, the worst days of my life have been where I've thrown all of that out the window. It's usually at a time of complete turmoil where maybe I'm moving house. In the past, it's breaking up with a partner, business issues, whatever the case may be, where I've thrown all that day-to-day house cleaning out and I've struggled. Where now I've made a call and said, this is actually the most important stuff. If I can't do this in whatever situation I'm in, it's not right. Something's wrong. I need to reassess. Yeah, that's all I can share with you guys today. I think it's so valuable, and I hope some of that lands the way it needs to for you in this moment. Have an epic rest of your day, and I'll be back in a couple of days.